has to do with how we see things. We may see the same picture, but put a different frame on it or a different mat, and it really looks different. There's a very old Chinese story which describes a farmer in a poor country village. He was considered actually well-to-do because he owned a horse, which was used for plowing and for transportation. Well, one day the horse ran away, and all his neighbors exclaimed how terrible this was. But the farmer just said, maybe. A few days later, the horse returned and brought two wild horses with it. Wow, the people rejoiced and said, what good fortune you have. Well, the farmer just said, maybe. The next day, the farmer's son had to ride one of the horses to try to tame it, and in the process broke his leg. All the neighbors declared how horrible this was and had sympathy about the misfortune of his son's broken leg, and the farmer just said, well, maybe. Well, the next week, the army came to the village to enlist the young men in the village, and they rejected the farmer's son because of his broken leg. And the neighbors told him how lucky he was, and the farmer replied, well, maybe. This is about framing. And so we are really in some ways at the mercy of how we frame something. As you have already learned, problem framing leads you down a certain path, where outcome framing leads you down another. So let's talk about a little bit of some of the frames that I think are useful. Why don't we first talk about some frames that we tend to use, which I think are less than useful. There's the good and the bad frame. And really, this is about value. That if I say, oh, this is a good meal, or this is bad service, I am talking about the value aspect of it. And is this really what I want to, you know, do I say to my son, you're a good boy? Well, that may be used to describe an appropriate behavior or something I'm proud of, but it actually will cause him to start thinking about value. And if I say, you know, that's a bad employee, well, then that's going to lead us down the path of seeing someone as we don't value them. And really, it doesn't matter what they do because we just don't value them. Okay? Another cousin, a distant cousin of this, is the right versus wrong frame. If I say, well, that was the right decision or that was the right thing to do, it really has to do with correctness. If I get the answers right on the test, it's going to, you know, give me an A, and if I get them wrong, it's going to give me an F. So do I really want to do that, saying, well, that was the right thing to do or that was the wrong thing to do? Well, probably not. I think that, and this sounds funny to say, but a more useful frame is actually the useful and not useful frame. In NLP, they really work to help develop a flexibility in thinking and to use phrases like, you know, this is useful, or this is really not useful. Help steer us away from the value judgments or the correctness judgments, and just towards what is useful. Very pragmatic. And I know after I give a presentation, I ask for feedback of what was useful, what was not so useful. And it's useful to me because I would like that feedback. But I really try to avoid the good and bad and the right and wrong because it's just not that useful to me anymore. This is also very helpful. There's another frame, helpful or not helpful, in terms of giving feedback to people. Whether it's positive or negative. Another frame is the as-if frame. This is framing something in terms of as-if. If you frame something as if someone is really good at something and you talk as though they are good at something, it actually may help them become better at that thing. And if I talk as if, well, they're really not going to change, I'm just going to confront them or I need to share with them, but you know, this is the way they always are. Well, that's probably not useful. That I like to approach a communication or an intervention as if the person really does have a heart to change, that it's a matter of time before they will change. That there was a famous therapist, Milton Erickson, where people asked him, how do you get these changes from people? And he says, you know, it never occurred to me that these people wouldn't change. And that's how I like to work with people. So we may or may not have gotten to this extra exercise, but I wanted to include it in this CD resource for you because I think it's really valuable. And this is the concept and also the exercise of state management. You know, we can talk about behaviors and thoughts and feelings, but really above all that or underlying all that, how you think about it, is the state we're in, the attitude. This is something, if I'm in a great mood, everything seems to flow from there. My thoughts seem to be happy. My feelings seem to just flow in the right direction. My behaviors, my interactions with people, it just feels like I'm in the flow. And you can think about a bad day where it just seems like you're not feeling well. Something physically may not be setting right with you. Things aren't flowing. Things are stuck. You're not feeling good. And so it doesn't take much effort to start thinking negatively. Feelings of hopeless and helpless start to creep in. Not a good sight. So what do we do? Well, if we really were to focus, how do I move from what is called a stuck state to a resource state? It's like a candle of light being brought into a dark room. Rather than trying to fight the stuck state, if one just focuses on the light, the goal of what you really do want. For instance, say like my stuck state is not wanting to be near this one person. They just rubbed me the wrong way. I had a bad interaction. Perhaps I even feel ashamed when I'm around them just because they rubbed something in that I did long ago. Well, what state do I want to feel? Well, I want to feel confident. I want to feel secure. I don't necessarily need to feel perfect, but I need to feel like I am okay as a person. In fact, I would like to get to a place where I believe that they are okay too. So perhaps my resource state, we'll call the okay state. This is where I feel okay. I feel like everybody has gifts and talents, but everybody also has weaknesses and challenges. I would also like in this state a sense of acceptance. Acceptance for where I'm at and where I'd like to be able to be, but acceptance of this is where they are. So acceptance doesn't mean settling for less, but it's this letting go of this wrestling against what is. So I find these very resourceful. So how am I going to access this resource? Well, I might be able to do it just by sitting here and pondering it. But there is a simple but powerful exercise called a circle of excellence, which I find very useful. I use it all the time. In fact, the field of sports psychology uses it as well. And this exercise is pretty much the basic stepping stone for entering into the state you want. So it begins by thinking of a time when you were doing something well, with excellence, using your talents, gifts, and abilities. And you think of an actual experience. So you may have been receiving an award, you may have been doing an athletic event that you feel really great, or something in your work. And the interesting thing is this has a great crossover. You don't really have to access a memory that fits where you're wanting to go. For instance, if you're a good athlete, stepping into that arena, just feeling good may actually help you have a good interaction with someone. But be careful, you want to make sure it's a pure state of feeling okay and not competitiveness. Or you might have just a sense of peace, thinking of the last vacation you were on. You just felt it just flowed, everything seemed to happen in a great sort of way. You had a connection with those you love. Or perhaps you were just by yourself. And that state of peace, that comfort, that serenity, is something that you might want to take with you. So once you've imagined this, then I'd like you to imagine a circle on the floor and give the circle a color that represents best those feelings. So for me, it's this blue. It's this, I don't know how to describe the shade, but I do know the blue that I'm looking at inside my mind. So then I step into the circle while bringing the memory as well as the sense of blueness around my feet, and I can feel it swarm around me. For me, my circle of excellence is pretty three-dimensional, and I found that a lot of people really like this. And notice that the feelings deepen as you deepen the color. What's great about this exercise is that you begin to generalize, again, generalization, but in a positive way, by taking the color with you. And once you've experienced everything there is to experience and you feel the feeling begin to fade, then I'd like you to step out of that circle, as I'm stepping out of mine. And then I'd like you to imagine a sound or music or words that would describe that feeling again. And so for me, I imagine ocean waves, or I imagine if it was another actual memory, something that was said to me. Maybe it's a key word like congratulations, or you know what, you are really cool, or whatever it is that you hear that makes you feel good. And that's the simple exercise of circle of excellence, where you're actually imagining this circle and giving it a color and giving it a sound. And as you step in and hear that sound and visualize that color, you can do this for about 5-10 minutes before you need to do a presentation, before you have to testify in court, as I do occasionally as a therapist. Before you go to sit with someone to sell. In fact, I've helped people develop circles of selling, of consulting, of relationship, of peace, of health. People have been able to, they start to feel a cold come on, and when they start to imagine feeling healthier, and of course one has to do some things to take care of themselves physiologically. But it can be very valuable. There's circles of slowing down, but it's simple enough. We call this exercise the circle of excellence. And so I would like to leave you with some thoughts to think about as we wrap this up together. You know, thoughts that really, you know, you are a special individual, that in the world there is no one really just like you. You may have heard of some of these phrases before, and even no matter how much we hear them before, they really are still true, that you are your best asset for what you bring to work with you. And that if you think about it, from the beginning of time, there has really never been anyone just like you. No one exactly has your smile or your eyes or your nose or hair or hands or voice. That no one has your exact handwriting. And no one has the exact taste for food or music or art that you have. No one sees things the way that you do, and perhaps this training has given you a way to see things a little bit different. But even seeing things, and as you broaden your skills, it is still part of you. What's interesting is nothing is going to motivate you except those things that motivate you. And understanding what those motivations are can be a great thing to help you move to where you want to be. And with that, I thank you for this time together, and I wish you a great day.